Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Canto 10, Chapter 35. Before we begin, continuing where we left off, there was some discussion yesterday, if I recall, some verses by Sanatana Goswami glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam. I checked, and these verses are all kinds of glorifications, and there's a number of verses towards the end, where it's prayers to Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'm just going to read two of them. It starts, it's Krishna Lila Stava, and the section is glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam by Sanatana Goswami, where he writes, oh, Srimad Bhagavatam, oh, my only friend, oh, my companion, oh, my teacher, oh, my great wealth, oh, my deliverer, oh, my good fortune, oh, my bliss, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. And then, next one. Oh, Srimad Bhagavatam, oh, giver of saintliness to the unsaintly, oh, uplifter of the very fallen, please do not ever leave me. Please become manifested upon my heart and my throat, accompanied by pure love of Krishna. So I misspoke the other day, but this is what he has written. There was another question that I requested our deity worship minister for North America to respond to the question in Madhva's line, and specifically Madhva's line, but also in the Sri Vaishnava line, why do we not see the consort of the Supreme Lord by the side of the Supreme Lord? And my answer was, my understanding is, their view is the Lord, the consort is within the Supreme Lord. But I'll check. So here's what happened. The deity worship minister consulted somebody, it's his counterpart in South India, and he consulted a Sri Vaishnava scholar. There's two questions. And then the answer from the scholar. Why we do not see the worship of Lakshmi Narayan together in a single altar in temples governed by Sri Vaishnavas and the Madhva Sampradayas? Second, why do we see Lakshmi housed and worshipped in a separate shrine? I didn't ask that question. He had that question apparently. And here's the answer. Many devotees may feel that there is no Lakshmi along with Narayan just because her deity form is not to be seen prominently along with Sriman Narayana in the Garbha Griha of temples served by Sri Vaishnavas and Madhvas. But this is far from the truth. According to Sri Vaishnava philosophy, Lakshmi is always with Sriman Narayana. This is the reason she is referred to as Anapayani. The Vishnu Purana and the Bhagavat Purana both refer to this characteristic of Sri Lakshmi. And he refers to Bhagavatam 10:58-41, where the word Anapayani is found, and the translation, "My Lord, who could be a better husband for my daughter than you, the exclusive abode of all transcendental qualities? On your body, the goddess of fortune herself resides, Anapayani, never leaving you for any reason." Paragraph, Anapayani means never leaving. Even for a single moment, kshana or lesha, Lakshmi never leaves the transcendental body of Sriman Narayana. In other words, separation between Lakshmi and Narayana is not possible at all. Which is similar to what Hanuman says in the Bhagavatam about Sita being separated from Ram. According to our tattva, Lakshmi and Narayana are always together, one tattva. So that's, according to our tattva, that's Vishishta Advaita. There's a non-Advaita, there's a non-difference feature of the Supreme Lord and everything. His vishishtas, his attributes. Paragraph. There are references about these extensively in the Shastras, especially in the Ramayana, as well as in Vishnu Purana. Therein it is explained that one can never separate the sun rays and the sun. That's this vishishta advaita. In reality, the sun is different from the sun's rays. Still, one cannot separate the two. There is no existence of one without the other. Lakshmi and Narayan are one, like that. Paragraph. Another Shastravakya, or statement, is Shashi Prabha Yata. Shashi Prabha Yata. The luminescence or Prabha that comes out of Shashi or moon is different from the moon itself, but there is no way by which one can separate the two. Vishishta Dvaita. Yet another example given in the Shastras is that a person and his chaya, shadow, are none different. Shadow and the person are different from each other, each having their own identities, yet one cannot separate. Okay, I added a word. I'll just read the sentence again. This is from the Sri Vaishnava scholar. Yet another example given in the Shastras is that of a person and his chaya, or shadow. So what's the relationship? Sambandha. Shadow and the person are different from each other, each having their own identities, yet one cannot separate the two. The shadow faithfully follows the person. Thus, in Sri Vaishnava philosophy, it is clear that one cannot separate Lakshmi and Narayana. But, according to the Pancharatra Agamas, that's the section of the Vedas that speak about procedures for things specific to deity worship, one has to worship different Lakshmis in different places, in different ideologies, because Agamas describe many Lakshmis, not just one. Some of them are, and he lists some, Veera Lakshmi, Sri Vatsada, Yoga Lakshmi, Bhoga Lakshmi, etc. If you remember, yesterday there was a whole long list of different internal potency nomenclatures, and they do different things, so they have their nomenclature from their sampradaya, and the scriptures, primarily Vishnu Purana and Padma Purana. Paragraph. To help us understand why it appears as if Lakshmi is worshipped separately and not with the Lord, a quotation from Ishvara Samhita helps. I don't know this text, but here's Sri Vatsaga Yoga Lakshmi Bhoga Lakshmi Stu Parsvaga Vira Lakshmi Stu Svatantralaya Pratishtata. Doesn't give the translation, but it seems he's glossing. According to the Pancharatra Agama, I guess that's what this Ishvara Samhita is, a Pancharatra Agama, Yoga Lakshmi and Bhoga Lakshmi are always with Vishnu inside the Garbha Griha. One can see in any of the deity forms of Vishnu, like Venkateshwara in Tirumala, or Tiru Narayana of Melukote, or in the Kanchipuram Varadaraj Swami, you can see elsewhere too that there are two Lakshmis in the chest. No, it didn't say on, it says in. The chest of the Vishnu deity. Now, I don't know if he wrote this in English, or he wrote it in some other language, Tamil, and the devotee translated it, but it says in. I think it means on, because the rest of what follows. So how can anyone claim that Lakshmi is not there along with Vishnu? The size of these Lakshmis may be small. Does this mean that the size of the deity matters? Definitely not. Big or small, deity is deity. So on the body of Vishnu or Narayana, these two. Since most don't notice these Lakshmis, it gives rise to confusion in the minds of some devotees that these Sri Vaishnavas and Madhvas are worshipping only Vishnu and not Lakshmi. So one can never say that Lakshmi is not there. She is there. She will always be with Vishnu Anapayani. So, paragraph. Bhoga and Yoga Lakshmis are worshipped along with the Lord inside the Garbha Griha. But, according to the Pancharatra Agama, if a deity form of Vira Lakshmi is to be worshipped, then she must have Sva Tantralaye, or an independent altar or shrine. So, she's there, and she's there. So, what you see as independent shrines are forms of such Vira Lakshmi. Therefore, if one says that Sri Vaishnavas are worshipping the Lord alone without his consort, this understanding is incorrect, since Sripad Madhvacharya also accepts the Pancharatra Agamas as proper pramana. The Madhvas can never deviate from this philosophy or understanding. Further, some think that the Madhvas do not use Pancharatra, but use Tantra, Sara. This Tantra, Sara, is authored by Madhvacharya, based on Agamas, to give the process of making deities and Vedic mantra rituals for Krishna worship in Dvaita temples and mats. That's pretty comprehensive. And don't ask me questions because I didn't author this. Okay, so now we're going back to Canto 10, Chapter 35, and we're discussing texts 20 and 21. And this is from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. He writes, when the gopis assembled at Mother Yashoda's house in the afternoon, they saw that she was disturbed over Krishna's late return, so they pacified Yashoda by telling her the reasons for Krishna's delay. In this verse, these two verses, the gopis said, after bathing in the Yamuna to relieve his fatigue, Krishna sat down on her bank and, dressed in a festive way to please his cowherd boyfriends, who were eagerly waiting to meet him, a gentle breeze blew to refresh Krishna as he played in the water with his foot. To gladden his friends, Krishna told jokes and listened to theirs. Hasya Rasa. Quote, O sinless Yashoda, you never committed any sins previously or in this life by which danger could come to your son. Why do you, who are endowed with the most spotless fame, Yashoda, uselessly worry about about danger from demons if Krishna is a little late? He's the son of Nanda, who is famous as the crest jewel of all pious men, and he is your darling son, Vatsa, or object of affection. We see that children fall into danger only when the parents have bad karma. There we go again. Therefore, no danger can befall your son. Paragraph. Listen as we tell you the reason for Krishna's being late, as we have heard it from his friends. The wind, which has acquired its fine fragrance and coolness by touching the sandalwood trees growing in the Malaya Hill, is blowing very pleasantly to honor your son. Upadevas, or minor demigods, like the Gandharvas, famous for their celestial music and dancing, have surrounded Krishna and are worshipping him by playing musical instruments and praising his qualities. In order to acknowledge them, Krishna is delaying a bit, according to the logic that, quote, those of quality delight in seeing persons with good qualities, unquote. Therefore, there's no need to worry about your son. Actually, it is your great fortune that the Upadevas are honoring your son in this manner. And here's from Jiva Goswami's Vaishnava Toshini. That's his entire 10th canto, just one commentary. He writes, they comfort Yashoda with this description since it shows that his pastimes give happiness to all. And Krishna receives comfort from everyone's service. They explain the reason for his late arrival in this verse. He has gone to the Yamuna where he plays in the water and then plays on the bank. He needs to bathe because of fatigue in wandering all day. From mention of the Kunda flowers and gentle breeze, it is inferred that it is the Kartik month. These flowers do not bloom in the spring, and the wind during the winter and dewy season is harsh. And we're going on to Priti Sandarbha. The following shows his emotions in Purvarag. This is being spoken by the gopis. And I didn't go through this ahead of time like I usually do, so a little choppy. Oh, Tulsi, Krishna plants you and serves you in Vrindavan for the benefit of the cows and with rati for the gopis. So purva raga is, purva means ahead, raga is their enjoyment. Also in union he reveals his love, smiling upon hearing these despondent words of the gopis. Krishna, the supreme master of all masters of mystic yoga, mercifully enjoyed with them, although he is self-satisfied. Surrounded, this is now chapter 29, going back a bit. This is the Rasalila section, or preparing for Rasalila. Surrounded by the assembled gopis whose faces blossomed by his glance, Krishna, who responded to each of them without fail, whose activities were most attractive, whose smile revealed his shining rows of teeth, white like jasmine buds, increased in beauty like the moon surrounded by stars. Paragraph. There are two types of being controlled by prema. One, by prema of others, and by prema of the beloveds. So these are, it explains, this is stimulations of love is where you see this, that the stimulation is others' love and specifically prema of the beloveds. Here's an example of being controlled by others' prema. In this case, it's Krishna's friends, which is this verse. Oh, sinless Yashoda, your darling child, the son of Maharaj Nanda, has festively enhanced his attire with jasmine garland, and he is now playing along the Jamuna in the company of the cows and coward boys, amusing his dear companions. So his love is in stimulating their love. Here's an example of being controlled by the beloved's prema in Purvarag. And this is now the pastime with Rukmini. Just as, Krishna speaking, just as Rukmini's mind is fixed on me, my mind is fixed on her. I can't even sleep at night. I know that Rukmi out of envy has forbidden our marriage. The meaning is clear. The Lord speaks to Rukmini's messenger. One more. This is again, this is a similar topic, Purvarag, or beginning of love, Purvarag. This definition is given by Jiva Goswami. It is described in these words of Skanda Purana, Reva Kanda Tulasi Stava. Translation, to bring auspiciousness to the cows, as well as to make the gopis fall in love with him, Lord Vishnu personally plants you in Vrindavan to serve you, O Goddess Tulsi. Lord Krishna's enchanting the gopis while directly enjoying pastimes with them is described in the words of Srimad Bhagavatam 10:29-42. Smiling upon hearing these despondent words from the gopis, Krishna, the supreme master of all masters of mystic yoga, mercifully enjoyed with them, although he is self-satisfied. In this verse, the word prahasya, or smiling, describes how Lord Krishna enchanted the gopis. Lord Krishna enchanting the gopis as he enjoyed pastimes with them is again described in these words of Srimad Bhagavatam. Again, it's chapter 29. There's three verses. Among the assembled gopis, this is text 43. Among the assembled gopis, the infallible Lord Krishna appeared just like the moon, surrounded by stars. He, whose activities are so magnanimous, made their faces blossom with his affectionate glances, and his broad smile revealed the effulgence of jasmine bud-like teeth. And then text 44 from that same chapter, 29, very next verse. As the gopis sang his praises, that leader of hundreds of women sang loudly in reply. He moved among them, wearing his Vaijayanti garland, beautifying the Vrindavan forest. And two verses later, Krishna threw his arms around the gopis and embraced them. He aroused Cupid in the beautiful young ladies of Raja by touching them, by playfully scratching them with his fingernails, and by joking with them, glancing at them, and laughing with them. In this way, the Lord enjoyed his pastimes. Commentary says, in this way, Lord Krishna's quality of making the gopis fall in love with him is described. Now will be considered Lord Krishna's quality of being controlled by his devotees' love. Prema vasyatva. Prema vasyatva. This quality is of two kinds. This is pretty involved, huh? Being controlled by the love of his devotees other than his beloveds, being controlled by the love of his beloveds. The first of these, being controlled by the love of his devotees other than his beloved, is seen in the words of our verse, this text 20. Oh, Yashoda, your darling child, the son of Maharaj Nanda, has festively enhanced his attire with a jasmine garland, and he is now playing along the Yamuna in the company of his cows and the cowper boys, amusing his dear companions. The gentle breeze honors him with its soothing fragrance of sandalwood, while various upadevas, standing on all sides like panegyrists, those who sing praises of someone, eulogies, offer their music, singing, and gifts of tribute. So that's is being controlled by the love of the devotees other than his beloveds, the cowherd boys. Now, the second of these, being controlled by the love of his beloveds, will be considered this quality when manifested in the stage of Purvarag, or the beginning of love, is seen in these words. This is, again, we're going to chapter 53. Just as Rukmini's mind is fixed on me, my mind is fixed on her, I cannot even sleep at night. He says the meaning of this verse is clear. The verse was spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to Rukmini's messenger. So I think we'll end there. Next is speaking about Sakya Rasa. And this is, what we just read is Jiva Goswami's Priti Sandarbha, where he's naturally, because of the topic, he's analyzing, the mature fruit of acting in one's relationship. Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. So that's the Prayojana section. the mature stage of bhakti and what it looks like. And then, so there's different elements and descriptions and so forth. I think we'll just go to questions. See if somebody would like to raise some question on this or whatever.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This question is there to me, I mean, for some time, especially when we were reading the Narada Muni instructions to Vyasadeva, his previous life when he was explaining. So he had, few months of association of Bhaktivedantis, and that time was enough for him to get that maturity level. I was thinking the messages that we are hearing, my understanding is that there is no difference between what Narada Muni had and what we are hearing, but the same effect we are not seeing from our side. So I was thinking, what is that thing that is difference between him and us? So,
well, dry wood and wet wood in contact with fire, it's a different outcome. I've been reading and also listening to expressions of appreciation of Bhakti Chimaraj, and one of the repeated themes was when he came in contact with Srila Prabhupada much later than many of his earlier disciples. So the earlier disciples were, by years of involvement in Krishna consciousness, senior, but Bhakti Chimaraj very quickly, so the dry wood, very, you know, within a couple of months, he was first and second initiated. Within a couple of months after that, given sannyas. Then a short time after that, his personal assistant. He was in fast track. So, you know, dry wood. And not just because he was Bengali, because of his, you can say, previous devotional service or previous inclination for Krishna bhakti. So,
but Narada Muni doesn't have that, previous
thing. Well, he before becoming that child, he was a Gandharva. He got carried away in Gandharva Loka, but he had.
One other question.
It's like Krishna's touching his foot on the Vidyadhara serpent and Krishna's dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. Oh, just once. Because of, you know, the merit of that Vidyadhara. Now, he had done something bad to take that position, but
this question came yesterday during one of the discussions. When Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, who were all able to hear? My understanding was that this was the discussion between Arjuna and Krishna. But was other people are able to hear that in discussion?
I'm trying to recall if there certainly Sanjaya by remote processes could hear and understand. But you know, all the soldiers on the battlefield, there wasn't a public address system, and so they're in the middle of the battlefield, so not likely that others heard. I don't recall any commentary saying that others heard, other than Sanjaya by his power. Okay? So, okay. Okay.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. As Lingraj Prabhu brought this up, this came to my heart. When we see your generation, Prabhupada disciples, we see like unimaginable dedication and that gratitude. It's very inspiring when we hear, particularly as we are hearing and watching Bhakti Sharma Maharaj's, how he was serving. He has been serving. So that inspiration and gratitude is there in the heart. Somehow when it comes out as a commitment to a particular service or something, there is some kind of inhibition. One way, maybe I'm not qualified. The other way, I don't know, maybe something is kind of holding back. You might have spoken on this, but just want to hear again, Guru Maharaj. What is the driving factor which kind of propelled your generation to go beyond anything, like whatever?
Well, that, you know, Prabhupada said, Bhakti Siddhanta sent you. How to understand that? But, you know, that because preaching in the West, and that was the mandate, and Prabhupada carried it out, he spoke like that. Another way of understanding is the sociological temperament at the time. The sociological temperament at the time was rejection and searching. I mean, that's found in this Hare Krishna movie a lot. It was a very turbulent time, and persons were seeking. They were seeking alternative. They were seeking through exploring all kind, you know, drugs and things, you know, higher consciousness. It was sociologically speaking, perfect timing. I have found, other than, you know, with Prabhupada's disciples, the mindset of people during passages of time makes a big difference in who will attend gatherings, like, you know, college programs specifically or other types of programs like that. We're products of social conditioning. I mean, that's how sociologists look at a great person. That's one of the lenses they look at, is a great person is one who is an exemplary product of their times. A man is a product of his times. That's how sociologists and, you know, literatures look at, you know, because he became great because he exemplified the product of the time, and that which, you know, drew the hearts and the minds of people to that which he exemplified, and he was a product of their times, and so forth. So, you know, there's different ways of looking at that. It would be a foolish position to say, you know, we were specially qualified people because Prabhupada said the opposite. You know, he's dragging us. And by his Krishna Shakti, let's say when Prabhupada first started in India before he came to the West, it didn't happen. So That's another Krishna Shakti, is goes where Krishna wants it to go. And when he came, there was the test period, and then it took off. Although at the same times, so Krishna's moving. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tar Pravartana. That's another explanation. Prabhupada was endowed with special Krishna Shakti. And so that Krishna Shakti did Krishna Shakti work. By Krishna's particular arrangement. And that's just in Krishna's hand. Who receives that? Who doesn't receive that? Who becomes the distributor of it? Who then becomes the recipient of it?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. This is like out of Krishna Leela. This is from Ramayana.
Okay.
My question is that Ahalya, she was tricked by Indra. So it was not her fault. Why did
she was aware.
Was she?
She was tricked, but she was aware. That description is there. She felt, she became, you know, she was strict, but she was aware, and she went for it anyways. Okay.
This question is from Sunita Mataji. For Brahman realized persons, the destination is Brahma Jyoti, and for a devotee, the destination is spiritual planets, Vaikuntha, Goloka, etc. So what is the destination for Paramatma realized person?
It depends. You know, it's the determining factor has to do with the degree of bhakti. So it depends.
This question is from Amara Mataji. We can recognize our attachments from while chanting where our mind is going. When we chant and trying to hear, if thoughts regarding our services or duties come, regarding their proper commencement, etc., how can I understand this in terms of attachment and how to get detached?
How can I understand this in terms of attachment? Well, there's layers. The ultimate layer is attachment to the object. And then another is attachment to the activities in relation to the object. There's a nice description in Madhurya Kandamani about asakti, or attachment. And one can be attached to the activities, and one can be attached to the object of the activities of bhakti. And the more mature stage is to be attached to the object. If you're attached to the activities, then supposing there's a shift in the world around you, and then your attachment gets adjusted, gets challenged, because there's now a new set of circumstances. But if you're attached to the object, it's very fluid. New circumstances, no problem. Because the attachment is to the object of service, not the service, particular form of service per se. You know, when your children grow up, what are you going to do? They won't be in the house anymore. you go nuts. So, you know, chanting is to become attached to Krishna in the mood of serving him in whatever way he wants. In whatever way he wants. Now, it's not like if that attachment isn't matured yet, there's something wrong with you. It's just something that you continue to strive for. That so how do you go beyond attachment? As you go for attachment to the object. And then by Krishna's arrangement, like we have these descriptions of the residents of Vrindavan, circumstances change a lot. But we're hearing about the science of rasa, that the sthayi bhava doesn't change when secondary rasas come along. It's just that, you know, the attachment to Krishna is always there. And we, when we have attachment to service, we may not be thinking about the object, Krishna. We may be thinking about, you know, the doership of this thing, that thing, the other thing, and the other thing, and the other thing, and keeping ourselves busy in doership mentality and calling it devotional service. I mean, it's not, you know, get an F in your exam, but you don't get an A in your exam either. So you keep striving how to overcome the attachment, and you pleasing Krishna, that's it. And be attached to the form of the name. And that takes some, that's our spiritual path. That's, you know, that's how you get on the other side of the other kind of attachment. That's it. You have something. And you have something. Go ahead.
Yesterday I was just thinking about hearing, and when we share Krishna Katha or when we share anything, Krishna consciousness with someone, one thing that I have heard or remembered is that even if I'm imperfect, but if we are relaying the teachings of a perfect teacher, then it helps the other person, and it's a service.
And you're getting purified by doing so.
Yeah. On the other hand, there's also this thing of whenever we share Krishna consciousness with someone, it is also that the level of consciousness that I have, or all the contaminations that I have, contaminated consciousness, that also goes to the other person. So, I think, are these right understandings, and also...
Yeah, they're correct understandings.
So when I fall short, only thing that I do or I kind of try to see is that whatever I miss out, I mean, consciousness-wise, whatever is lacking, Krishna will take care of the other persons who are... who I'm sharing with.
Well,
and
their spiritual benefit... But the transmission of less than pure bhakti, that's not compensated for by, you know, the Krishna factory. You just kind of adjust everything, and the other person doesn't get contaminated. Or less than fully purified. You know, that there's the receiver. And their relationship with Krishna is the other factor. You know, how Krishna will act in relation to the receiver. Okay? It's dynamic, not static.
I have a two-part question, Guru Maharaj, regarding yesterday's class.
Yesterday's class.
Yesterday evening, about hearing, an uncontrolled mind. So one part is like, when I hear that uncontrolled mind is the greatest enemy The initial part is clear, how mind needs to be controlled to do anything. So when we hear this Vishwamitra Muni or Bharat Maharaj, that kind of brings fear, or even sometimes like hopelessness. So should I not worry about it? Because the stage is
very well, you don't make it a zero, but you just do course correction. When you're, you get in your car, you put on your seatbelt. And if you don't, the machine's going to tell you, put on your seatbelt. Bing, 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 bing. Put on your seatbelt. So you put on your seatbelt.
Okay.
You're at risk driving the car. You can be fearful, I'm not going to drive the car. Bing, 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 bing. Okay, I'm getting out. But in life, there's risks. So there's risk management. And, it's not fear. It's just be cautious. Mm-hmm. The yellow light flashing kind of example also.
Okay.
So you just, watch the modes, how they may be operating upon you. And don't choose, that dark one. You choose the light one. I'm going to proceed with caution. And Krishna will see you're proceeding with caution, relying on him for the prompt. And then, so now I'm driving with my seatbelt on, and here comes a car, that didn't stop at the stop sign. Mm-hmm. So then you have to take appropriate action. But if you're in the cautious mode, you're already anticipating. The defense of driving. So.
Yeah. Okay. Sure, Kumar. And the second part is about controlling the mind. For me, it looks like it is out of my hands. That's my situation. It's certainly very helpful that controlling the mind means hearing.
Yes. That's in your hand.
Yeah. So maybe that's what the practice.
That's yes, great that's sadhana.
Okay, sure.
Now, when you're trying to hear, you'll find we mentioned yesterday. On my own, I can't do this. So then, that's the position of submission to an appeal for mercy. But you don't get lazy. Don't become complacent. You make maximum effort sustained over time. And then Krishna sees, oh, let me help him. Okay.
So Pooja Singh, Mataji was asking, are the gopis consoling Mother Yashoda?
Wow.
Is it older gopis or younger gopis?
Younger.
And the second question is, the gopis are obviously perfected, elevated souls.
Yes.
When we are hearing these stories, should one always think of their mood as something that one aspire for?
Yeah.
Even at the advanced stage?
Yeah.
Or in the neophyte?
Yeah.
Stage? The mood of surrender.
Yeah.
And Ratnavali Mataji from Atlanta, she's asking, what are the practical ways we can apply in our life and teach children to avoid attachment? To avoid attachment.
You become a good mother. You'll teach your children how to be good children. Model it. You have something?
This question came up in the discussion where we were trying to discuss about avoiding the first offense, blasphemy.
This is your Nectar Devotion class?
Yes, Guru Maharaj. So, and also in connection with what we learn about how one starts devotional service, it can be previous contact in the previous life.
Yes.
The question was, if there are people who have contacted the devotional service last life and they are coming now to the temple, and how to identify someone, how can we tell that Kanishta, Madhyama, Uttama, and that, because they may have contact from before. That kind of a question.
Well, it doesn't matter whether it's before or current. You understand by symptoms. And there's symptoms and there's symptoms and there's symptoms. So by the symptoms you can understand what it's just seeing through the lens of scripture, and then you can see what's what. There's symptoms. And there's many places where the symptoms are described, so it's not like rigid buckets or something, but there's general directional characteristics of this and that and the other. That's how you know. Okay, Prabhupada ki jai.